You know, I'd love tonight for us to go ahead and talk about the power of prayer and the blood. And in a way we are, but we'll do that in next Sunday because it's such a great joy. It's such a great joy to find a time in your life and to make a time and realize it's the most important time to where you can sit before the Lord and you become radically the man or the woman that stands in front of their house and refuses to give their home up spiritually. Powerful. That's the most powerful thing that we do. It's probably the most God-ordained thing that we do. It's probably the most supernatural thing that we do. As we daily apply the blood over our homes and over our houses. Now, it's all dependent upon, certainly, the word of truth. And I want to thank you, Danny. You've done so well at teaching us the word of God through prayer. Because that is such a vital part of it. Because the applying of the blood, the pleading of the blood, is the declaration of the truth that God has said to you in His Word about the blood and its power. And the full assurance of faith that it happened. There's about 12 different things. There's probably 30. But there's at least 12 major things that on a daily basis that you can cover your home with in the power of the blood. And it literally says no to the devil. On this series that we're doing just right now, it was promoted by several things. One thing, I feel to be the Holy Spirit. But the other thing is because last Saturday, a week ago, we had a funeral of a little 8-year-old, beautiful little darling. And she lay in that casket and knowing that her life is full of happiness at this time. But realizing also what was taken away from her. And then being with her mother and her family this week. And there's just not much you can say there. But one thing that we can do, we can allow the Lord to use it in our lives, not to breed fear, but to bring us to the wall. To bring us to the wall and to stand on the wall in guard of each other and our families and our spiritual family for the glory of God. You know, LaTanya, you and John. Boy, it's so good to see John, to have John. Isn't it? Just give John a hand. It's just so good to have John. Look at that, giving yourself a hand, John. I like that. I love you, man. And as we ministered to that family the other day, LaTanya, we told them about you and John, about how that y'all had walked through one of the hardest things that a mother and dad could ever walk through. And what we told them is, you need to talk to somebody that's strong. And we gave them your name. Because we knew that y'all were the ones that could help them during that hour. But what it does, it breeds a faith in us that pulls us all to the wall. When things happen that we don't feel like should happen, it brings us to the wall. They don't move us into discouragement. Some people, I just want to kick some people in the behind. Because they let things move them into a discouragement. They get into some kind of self-pity party. And I hate that. I hate that spirit. You know why? Because I'm prone to it. I hate it. For years, I felt sorry for myself, and it keeps you totally defeated, totally destroyed. There's never anything that you can accomplish as long as you pull on the sides and you feel sorry for yourself. And so I hate that spirit. It tried to be a common spirit with me, but I make it an uncommon spirit with me. Amen. And so instead of things that we don't understand, instead of them breeding fear, we allow it to bring a faith out in our life, an emergence of the strength and the grace of God to put us back on the wall, to call us to the wall of battle. So my heart's in the praying the blood, because I believe there's nothing like the shield of blood that God can put around a family. But tonight I just felt I had two things set, either the talk about praying the blood or to talk to you about intercession. Being this evening, I felt the Lord wanted me, just a few moments ago, I felt like that I was to talk to you about intercession. Because many of you have that gift. And the truth of the matter is, intercessors is a fine-tuned group of warriors that move into a body of believers, and they serve as special forces in protecting that body of Christ. And so I'm going to talk to you about a little bit tonight, what little bit I would know, but I pray the Holy Spirit brings out some understanding that none of us knows, that we can understand something deeper in Him about this most powerful gift of intercession and how God can use it to make sure that there's no cracks, no breaches in the wall, to make sure that every place that there's a breach, because the Bible says that God is searching for intercessors to stand in the breach. That's a hole that's developed in the spiritual wall of protection round about our lives, round about our church, round about our city, round about our nation. And the Bible says that God is searching for somebody that will say, I'll stand in that gap. I'll stand in that gap and I will intercede and I will not allow the enemy to come into this gap to destroy me or destroy those I love or destroy those that God has called me to walk with. So I just believe the gift of intercession is probably one of the most greatest gifts that's needed in the body of Christ. Now, to Chance, you're going to have to catch me up there. I'm going to go all the way over because I told you there's 12 areas that I wanted to cover during this series about praying the blood. 12 areas that we will cover that I pray God will put them in our heart on a daily basis to where that we can make sure that there is no breach. But an intercessor is one that comes when there is a breach. And we could talk about tonight about the blood being our protection, and we believe that. We could talk about everything, but I want to talk about the blood being our access, and I want to talk about this access that God gives us to a deeper spiritual realm. And I want to talk about in surety and God giving us access to a deeper spiritual realm in prayer where God can help us. Now, let me say again, everyone is not called to be an intercessor. But in any group of believers, there need to be those special forces that are called, that they're ready in a moment to attack, and wherever the enemy would try to raise up his head against you or your family, that it won't be just you standing alone, but there will be intercessors that will be immediately drawn to you, and they will stand in the gap for you and hold up your arms for you until that battle is over and Jesus has won. So I'm going to call forth intercessors. And I want to say, Billy, I see more of the gift of intercession working in your life than probably anybody I know. I love the surrender that you have and the willingness that you have. And I believe that's all required in intercessor. It's a willingness to do that is not sometime accepted. And to allow the Holy Spirit to move you and woo you into areas that are, I consider it, courageous and brave. And that's what it takes to be an intercessor. An intercessor is one that is a hound for veins of God. An intercessor is not afraid to try a vein. When they sense something in the Spirit, they're not afraid. They'll try. They'll move down that vein. And some veins are proven that it's not the Lord. So an intercessor quickly retreats out of that and moves back away from it. But a true intercessor is constantly looking for the new vein in the Lord. Looking for the new shaft, the shaft that would lead them to the gold mine of the presence and the power of God. So they're constantly on the search as an intercessor. Their sense of divine smell is keen. They have a sense of being able to sense things and smell in the Spirit and to move divinely into that. An intercessor is one that has yielded their members as surrender to God. It's hard to say. An intercessor is on one level. Then there's deeper levels of intercession. Let me go ahead and just kind of start here tonight, and then we'll move into some of that. All right. First, I want to mention that number 7 on our list, if I was going forth, that's what the blood of Jesus does for us. And what we can accept as we're set before His presence in the morning and we sprinkle, everybody say we sprinkle, as we sprinkle our family, our doorpost, and in the blood of Jesus, as we make sure that the entrances of our life are covered. If I was to deal with it, 1, 2, 3, 4, number 7 would be the blood of Jesus gives us the divine access. It's a supernatural access. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 said, we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus. God gives us an access. It's almost like a ticket that they would be punched by the power of His blood. We're able to enter in, not to a physical sanctuary, but we're able, we have access to enter into a spiritual sanctuary where things are spiritually keen, spiritually powerful. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 24 says, therefore, brothers, since we have, 24 says, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain. In Hebrews 12, 22, it says, but rather you have come to Mount Zion, even to the city of the living God. This is what we have access to by the blood of Jesus. The heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless multitudes of angels and festal gathering. Now, we go on and on because there, that set of scriptures that goes on and on talks about this heavenly sanctuary that God has given us access to. I just want to draw your attention to just a few things that says we have come into this countless multitudes of angels. In this spiritual sanctuary that we have access to by the Spirit through the power of the blood, it brings us into a heavenly sanctuary spiritually. I'm not talking about all of you are experiencing this sanctuary physically tonight. But some of you are more keen than that. Some of you sitting here tonight realize that you're sitting in a physical sanctuary, but your spirit is also housed in a heavenly sanctuary tonight. There is something higher that your spirit is intermingling with tonight. And then some of you are so keen in the spirit, you understand that you have a divine access there. And as you have a divine access there, there are these countless multitudes of angels. I love what this specific version says. It says the angels, they're in festive gathering. Man, they're happy we're there. They put on their best because they're so thankful that through the blood we've been able to enter into this gathering in heaven with them. The blood of Jesus really works in two major things. One major thing is that it brings heaven to earth. The other thing that the blood does, it carries earth to heaven. It gives us an access at the throne of God, and it gives God access into our lives here. It's a two-way door. It's a swinging door that is so powerful and so mighty. But speaking specifically of that swinging door, and I wouldn't normally talk about this first because normally we would talk about the other side of that, the door coming when God comes here through the power of the blood. But I just believe it's so important tonight. I just feel the sense of need, a call for intercessors. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit. What the Amplified says, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer. There are different kinds of prayer. There's not any one of us, or any two of us, any three of us, that have a full handle on prayer. Because God has called us as specific instruments. For one of us, God says, give me a scaffold. And the nurse will render a scaffold. To the other one, that says, give me the breathing apparatus. And another one will, because God called us all specific in areas of prayer. Because the thing about prayer is so important and so vital for the will of God to be done on earth. God calls us specifically. And there's at least four different kinds of prayer that's listed in the Bible. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, and then prayers, and intercession, and the giving of thanks. There's four at least listed there. And really what I says with thanksgiving, some versions read with thanksgiving, means that thanksgiving goes with every part of the kinds of prayer. Prayer is not complete in any fashion until praise has went up. There is no amen to prayer until you're thankful that God has heard and answered your prayer. There is no close to any prayer that you have until there's a praise and a thankfulness that God has done exactly what His Word has declared Him to do. So it's just so powerful. We could talk about supplication, and that's in the sense of compassion. A person that has this form of prayer has giftings in this arena. They're able to sense in faith. It's not a begging of God. And that's what is a problem with, I think, my past prayer teaching. Let's put it that way. It's because this supplication, it's not a begging. I love those that teach prayer. Jane teaches prayer here, and Danny teaches prayer, and every one of them has strong stands of faith. You accomplish nothing in prayer unless whatever you're doing is done by faith. It has to be breathed by the Holy Spirit. You're not going to just luck up on a miracle. It's got to be sought out and directed, and your faith has to be applied, and you have to be believed, and you have to make a stand. And usually have to go through a period of time where you don't see the answer, but you believe you got the answer. And then as you walk through that, so supplications, it's that sense of, it uses the sense of compassion and mercy. It's the cry on somebody's behalf for, in a compassionate sense toward God. And I want you to know this, your high priest can be touched with the feeling of your infirmities. And a person that supplicates, they're not supplicating in doubt. They're crying out for help in your life. They sense your hurt. They sense your pain. They can feel your difficulty. And the person that's given to intercession, you almost trade places with the person that you're praying for, because you can feel what they're going through, and your heart is crying out to the compassionate God of heaven that He'll be faithful to His Word, and His Word will ring true in their life. Amen. And God is touched by that feeling of that infirmity, and God ministers if it's done in faith. And then there's prayers, and I love prayers. Prayers, I believe, is probably the strongest, the most consistent of the four. And that's when you make bold declarations from the Word of God. You simply take the Word of God and you use it as your prayer language. And you take the Scriptures. It's not a begging and a pleading. But it's when you take the Word of God and you use it as the language of your prayer, and you begin to declare in the name of Jesus the power of God. And I know that in Danny's Armor prayer book, this is so keen, because it's taking the Scripture and not allowing the devil to say no to Scripture. It's not allowing the devil to say no to the Word of God. It's the person that's taken the Word of God and they're offering it up in prayer, and they're boldly declaring what God says. It's not important what you say, but it is important what God says about the situation. Then the Bible says that there's intercession. And that's the one I hopefully was going to talk on for a few moments tonight. This gift of intercession. And that's just, it's just a flip-flop to that. Where the gift of supplication comes in to let you sense what that person is going through that you're praying for and supplicating. Intercession's opposite. God begins to inhabit you, and it becomes God's cry. It becomes God's cry. And the gift of intercession is what God is wanting to do. It's his hurting heart. And a lot of people call it the grief of God. I believe that. But the grief of God can be satisfied with the miracle of God. And what intercession is the heart of God that's grieving over something that's not right, something that's wrong, something that someone, his children are hurting, somebody's having done wrong, and it's just heart of God. And all of a sudden, the heart of God uses that life of that intercessor, and He moves into that heart of that intercessor, and that intercessor begins to grieve in their spirit. And they began to cry out as God would cry out for His children. And they began to cry out, Spirit calling to Spirit, Spirit calling to Spirit. Now, the first time that I had intermingling with this, I hadn't been saved very long. I was somewhat pastoring. I mean, I was a year old in the Lord, and I was pastoring. And I was pastoring people that was 20 and 30 years old in the Lord. So it was a rather unique experience. Let me say, boy, you know those are wise people, don't you? But in that process, I was standing in the sanctuary one day, and a young lady walked in. And when that young lady walked in, it seemed like she had everything going. Man, she was just hip-hop, and she was just telling me everything that was happening and everything that was going on. And boy, she was just like she was on top of the world. I'd never seen her before that day, and I never saw her after that. But then she walked out of that sanctuary that day. When immediately she walked out, I was immediately gripped in my heart. I fell to my knees, and I don't know how long I was on that floor. I felt like the insides of me was coming out, as I could feel God's heart crying out for that young lady. At that, and I tell you, an intercessor many times intercedes. They sense the heart of God, and they have no idea in the natural. But see, if you're not faith enough person to realize, you're going to do a lot of things that you're not going to understand a thing about. You're going to have to trust it and leave it to God. Then you're not fit to be a part of the praying army of God. Because the praying army of God is moved by the Spirit. It's not moved by the flesh. It's not moved by what you see. It's not moved by what you feel. The praying army of God is moved by the Spirit of God. Because all of these are prayers of the Spirit. Each prayer that's going to be effective, I don't care if it's prayer, supplication, intercessions, or giving of thanks, if it's not moved by the Spirit, this is of no value. It's of no value. It's just flesh breeding flesh. Or use this complaint, breeding complaint, sorrow, bleeding sorrow. But if it's going to be anything that's of value, it's got to be done by the Spirit itself. And that young lady, when she walked out there, I stayed on that floor really grieving, heaving for the next, I don't know how long it was, and then all of a sudden it left just like that. I didn't have any idea that was the Lord telling me that it had come to a place where it had been taken care of. Because the Lord, I believe the Lord, even for people that have gifts of intercession, it's almost too like a ball game at times. The Lord passed you the ball, and for a few moments it's in your hand. And for the few moments that there, you're to intercede and pray. And then it's all of a sudden like you take it and you pass it to someone else. Big battles are that way because big battles are overweight one person. Some of your battles are big. I'm going to tell you what, you've got to begin to let the Spirit of God begin to take hold of that battle, because that one battle can pull you down. But it can't pull the body of Christ down. When the body of Christ is operating in its fullness, it can't pull it down. So it's almost like you're passing a ball at times. And then you'll pass that off, and then someone else that was be just like you, that possibly don't even realize what's going on, they'll begin to sense the Spirit, and they'll begin to intercede, and they'll begin to pray. And then after that, what was so shocking, right after that, they came and told me, they said, you know that young lady was a runaway? I said, I had no idea. And they said that her mom and dad has been searching for her, had no idea. But I do know that God, the heart of God was grieved. What was going on in that young lady's life was grieving God. I'm sure that mother and daddy that was searching for that young girl out on the road and trying to find her, I'm sure that they had touched the heart of God and God was grieved. So if you're an intercessor, you'll care about you're not. It's not so much people based. If you've got the gift of supplication, it's more people based. But it's a gift of intercession. It's more God based. Is carrying the heart of God to bring about the answers and the miracles of God. Okay, Revelation chapter 5, verse 8 says, when the Lamb had taken the scrolls, the four and living creatures. Now, everybody say, we have access. What are we talking about? God's brought you up. God has given us, through the power of the blood, we have access to a heavenly prayer meeting. And I want to really encourage you to study heaven's prayer meeting. Because you will find out in heaven's prayer meeting, how heaven conducts prayer meetings, is found in the book of Revelation. It's so wonderful. And you find out how heaven conducts this prayer meeting. You find a lot of repetition. You find a lot of praise. You find a lot of worship. You find a lot of intercession. That when heaven conducts prayer meetings and you find focus. Everybody say focus. Now, that's one of the reasons that most of us can't pray, because we can't focus. We can't focus usually on within ourselves, and then we can't focus as a group. But we have access to a heavenly sanctuary. Now, I don't know what you think is going on in that sanctuary, but those angels didn't get dressed for nothing. Those angels are dressed up for heaven's great prayer meeting. And you take off in Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5, and then you begin to see, and all of a sudden we find something that's called harp and bowl. We find there that the Bible classifies people that the way prayer meetings are conducted in heaven, there's a harp and there's a bowl. There's a bowl that are the prayers of the saints, and there's harps of praise and worship. And some way they intermingle to form great miracles on earth. Because of the response of a heaven prayer meeting is when that harp and that bowl is together. That's like supplications, prayers, intercession with giving of thanks. And in heaven's prayer meeting, there's always praise, is always a vital part of his prayer meeting. Always. And in heaven, as prayer meeting takes place, and it's so powerful as you study heaven's prayer meeting, that we have access. Everybody say that we have access. I'm going to be honest with you. You can stay, you can pray earthly if you want to, or you can be heavenly minded. And God can help you. God can help you in your prayer life to begin to move up. Man, that's why when you find in heaven's prayer meetings, there are creatures there we can't even describe. There's creatures there in heaven that's involved in those prayer meetings that we're still wondering, trying to figure out what in the world God talking about. There's marvelous things, but one thing for sure, power takes place from heaven's prayer meeting. All of a sudden, heaven has a prayer meeting and thunders and lightnings and earthquakes begin to take place. Judgments, bowls are begin to be opened up. Seals are opened up. Angels begin to fly. Heaven, prayer meeting. When heaven began to have a great prayer meeting, things move on earth for the glory of God. And I believe it's with all of my heart. I believe it's with all of my heart that it's God's will. That it is the will of the Lord. I believe the things that God has prophesied to take place in the last days of this world are dependent on heaven's prayer meeting. And I believe it's dependent not only those in heaven. I believe every person that's in heaven today, they have a role of prayer. They have a role of worship. They're there involved vitally in helping us get to the end of this thing on earth so we can all be in heaven together. And I believe that heaven is fully engaged in that prayer meeting. I don't feel like they're up there twinkling or fishing or doing any of that kind of stuff. There may be some twinkling and fishing later on, but I believe right now heaven is fully engaged in war. Because heaven understands. Heaven understands what we're under. Heaven understands what we're going through. Heaven understands what the devil's trying to do to get your family. Heaven understands what the devil's trying to do to steal your kids away and to destroy your happiness and to break up your home. Heaven understands that. Heaven's not here wearing glasses like we do a lot of times and put our head in some kind of fictitious fishbowl and try to act like things are not real. Heaven understands this stuff is real. And the very thing that we're laughing at is the very thing that heaven says is the most powerful things in the universe. And so heaven's prayer meetings are fully engaged. And so we have access through the blood. We can begin to participate in heaven's prayer meetings. And it's just like in anywhere else, the orchestrator, that's why the orchestrator of the prayer meeting is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is just like a person leading a symphony. When you need a flute, you have a flute. When you need an oboe, you bring an oboe. When you need a trumpet, the great orchestra and great orchestration would be beautiful as the various parts begin to sound their symphony sound as each part. And in heaven's prayer meeting, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. When the power of the Holy Spirit needs an intercessor, he begins to pull his hand that way. When the power of the Holy Spirit needs somebody to supplicate or to bring the gift of supplication, he begins to pull. When he needs somebody to stand in the word and declare the word and above all hell, stand and don't give up, then he pulls. And heaven, in heaven, the Holy Spirit is orchestrating this great prayer meeting that's to bring about the great move of God in the last day. Amen. And so I'm just thankful. Aren't you? I'm thankful that through the blood we have an opportunity. Now, some of you will never ever enter that realm because you won't chase rabbits. And literally, you got to allow the Holy Spirit to carry you down some veins that will help you personally find freedom in your own life, but will make you free for God. Because until a person is willing to play a flute, they'll never be able to do it with a Sister Levana. Until they're willing to try. They'll never be able to. And so the Holy Spirit has to lead us down to personal inventories of freedom in all of our lives to bring us to the place where we're fit for the great army of God and the great prayer meeting that he has going on there. I don't know this, but I do know there are times that you pray that angels are moving mightily. The Bible says that. I do know there are times that you pray that God has warfare, according to the book of Daniel chapter 10, God has warfare that's taking place just above your prayer. And so many times we're sitting down here thinking, what is my prayer doing? And so we must allow the Holy Spirit to begin to lead us into veins. If I'm going to become good at what I do for the Lord, if we're going to be, we got to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us down some spiritual veins. Somebody says, I'm afraid it won't be God. Just come back. Don't live your life under fear. Live your life under faith. Allow the Holy Spirit to do some things in your prayer that you've never done before. I remember the first time the Lord challenged me to sing in the Spirit in my prayer life. That was one of the hardest things I think God could ask me to do. And I was in Mr. and Mrs. O'Dell's house, which they didn't even believe in speaking in tongues at all. But the Lord challenged me. Will I add that? Will I add that to my arsenal? You've got to understand all through that God's adding to your arsenal. And you've got to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and to equip you for that battle. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, 8 says this prayer. 1 Timothy said it's the four major kinds of prayer. Revelation chapter 5 says, when the Lamb had taken the scroll, the four and living creatures and the 24 elders bowed down in front of him. Each held a harp and a gold bowl full of incense, which is the prayers of the saints. That's heaven's prayer meeting taking place. Now let me spend just the last few moments. I got 7 minutes. I want to talk about travail. There is a higher level than intercession. I want to talk to you just a few moments on God using you in the gift of travail. Travail is a higher level of intercession, but it has within it the power to produce glorious things. Paul said it like this. Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, my children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. Can you see something about the confidence that Paul has in that kind of prayer that you don't find normally in a prayer? Paul said, let me pray for you. I'll change you from the inside out. That's what he said. He said, you didn't make it the first time. He said, so I will use travail. And travailing prayer will create in you something that was not there previously. And Christ will be eventually formed in you. I tell you, the body of Christ, if we just had 2 people or possibly 3 people or possibly 4, what would we do with 10? What would we do with 15 that were able to move into the gift of travail? That they were able to consistently see people that were not developing on the inside. Instead of talking about them, they would begin to pray and use their gift of travail to bring it to pass in their life. Amen. The dictionary calls travail, it means hard or agonizing labor, toil as in childbirth, deep distress or anguish encountered in achievement. It's talking of what the dictionary calls travail is pain and bringing forth wonderfulness. Psalms 56:8 says, you keep track, and this is what God speaks. If you have that gift of intercession and you're looking for that next level, I want to encourage you that there's this powerful gift of travail that won't quit. It grabs a hold to somebody and says, I will not let you sink. You will not sink as long as I'm a hold to you. I will travail in the Spirit until Christ is formed in you, finally, for the glory of God. Amen. And then scriptures, we begin to relate to, like Psalms 56, verse 8 says, you keep track of all my sorrows. God uses it. He's keeping track of it. He's keeping count of it. That's what he does. That's what he works with travailers. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. See, a travailer is not interceding. They're not crying for sadness or pity. They're crying the very tears and the very heartbeat of God, and God is keeping account of every tear that's dropping from the eye. In fact, it becomes liquid prayer to God. It becomes almost prayers that will have vocal sound accompanied with it through this power of travail. It said, you have recorded each one in your book. That's what God said about it. In Psalms 126, it said, they that sow in tears, then what would they do? They shall reap in joy. These are people that are given, and there will be many tears in your area of travail. As you begin to move and you begin to feel the grief and the heart of God to bring about change in people's life, then there will be many tears. But it will be tears of faith. It will not be tears of sadness. It is not tears of self-pity, it's tears of faith that you believe that the heart of God can produce this in people's lives. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness." For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit, I say, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Groanings is a part of travail. It says here, the Holy Spirit will express His prayer through us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads. I love that word, plead. That's what verse 27 says. For the Spirit pleads. That's what travailing is. The Spirit is pleading inside, using your body to plead before God in faith that God will accomplish that miracle. Yes. Believers in harmony with God's own will. Now, the greatest travailer of all is not Paul. That's the one I've been talking about. But the greatest travailer is Jesus Himself. The Bible gives in John chapter 11, verse 33, says, "Therefore, when Jesus saw her," talking about when Jesus saw Mary weeping, He felt the grief of God. Go ahead, start, Stephen. "And the Jews who came with her weeping, He groaned in the spirit." At that point, Jesus began to groan in His spirit. Billy, I've heard you do that. I've heard you be in prayer for somebody and all of a sudden you begin to groan in your spirit. That's the same thing that Jesus did. Jesus was a groaner. You wouldn't have found Him comfortable. He wouldn't have been happy in just a little bit of sit me down kind of prayer meeting. Jesus was moved by the Spirit. When He felt something grieving the heart of God, He moved, and He didn't care who was there. He began to groan. Here He was in front of this, all of this flock of people there. And He began to be grieved and began to groan in the Spirit. He groaned in the Spirit and was troubled. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 5, it says, during the days of Jesus' life, notice what this says. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, He offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears. That's the way He prayed. You see, that's the way Jesus prayed. That's the way Jesus prayed. Next time. All right, there you go. All right, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, He offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears. That's the way Jesus prayed. Jesus had this marvelous gift. He knew what it was to respond in this sense before God. He knew what it was to sense that travail. He could sense the grief of God. This is not right. She shouldn't have cancer. God, this is not right. Your word has declared her healed. This is not right, God. So Jesus prayed not with lowly, go me down to sleep prayers. The Bible says that He prayed with loud cries and tears. The most miraculous prayer available is the travail of the soul. It's when we move into that gift and we allow the Lord to call us to be an intercessor, we begin to hear the heart of God for other people. And then we allow God to move it on into the ladder to the next level, and that's the level of travail. Travail is that woman that takes, like laying 13 hours to have a kid. And does not stop till that kid is here. A person that's given to travail, they don't value their time, they value the Spirit of God. They don't value their pleasure, they value the Spirit of God. I remember the times, Bill, that I'd go to the hospital with Elaine expecting it to be a quick delivery. 12 hours later, I'd still be sitting there. But all the time she travailed to bring forth a miracle. Let me close with this question. What carried Jesus through the cross? What carried Jesus through His cross experience? What carried Jesus through His cross experience? Did He just have a burst of joy? Did He just get a burst of grace, a burst of strength? What was able to carry Jesus through that was impossible for a man to go through? In fact, the Bible says He became so marred, He did not even look like a man anymore. Where was the strength of that? Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11 gives the secret to Jesus' power of going through hard things. Talking about God, he says he is introduced there as he. He said, he shall, God, the Father, shall see the travail of his soul, Jesus' soul. You know how Jesus walked through it? He walked through it in travailing prayer. It said that he, God the Father, shall see the travail of his soul. And that's where travail takes place. It's the mixture of the sense of emotion and the sense of the spirit. It's a sense of God, sense of the strength of the words in you. And that's the power in the travailer's heart. God said, I see the travail. Notice he didn't say, I see the pain that he went through. It didn't move. The pain, the Father was not moved by the pain that he saw outwardly. It was the pain that he was experiencing inwardly. The travailing inside. If you're a travailer, you understand the pain that you feel on the inside. As heart, God's heart begins to grieve and begins to break over things. You understand the pain that you feel. Where you many times you roll up on the floor as a ball. You just become so knotted up on the inside. And the travail has you so gripped on the inside of you. You know you can't quit. Because God is trying to bring birth to a miracle in somebody's life. And you can't quit. And you can't stop. But what it says here in this scripture, God the Father was not moved. He wasn't satisfied. He didn't say it was enough for what he saw happen on the outside. It's what he saw happening on the inside of Jesus that he said it's enough. And his agony stopped. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise and we give you glory, Lord. Lord, I ask you to some way, Lord, call us, Lord. Lord, call us as an intercessor. Lord, call us as a person that will be committed to travail, Lord God. Oh God, Lord, don't let the circumstances of life force us into this. Let a draw of the Holy Spirit pull us into this, God. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to see somebody just quickly stand with me. If you feel like the gift of intercession tries to use you at times, would you just stand very quickly? If you feel like, yes, Jerry, I understand what you're saying. I've sensed this. I have felt this myself. I've sensed this myself. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Children, oh, you're the God of great help. You're Lord, I pray for anyone that has not sensed this. Lord, I just think a little dab would help everybody. So, Lord, I ask you, I pray for every person, Lord, that has not sensed this, Lord, that they would begin to sense, Lord. They begin to sense, at least, Lord, you may not be calling them into that ministry, but give them the sense. It will bring the greater appreciation of the throne prayers, of the access that the blood has gained for us. When you begin to pray, an angel stands at your side and begins to pray with you. And an angel begins to lay a hand on you and bring strength to you. And an angel begins to help you. And the creatures of heaven begin to respond in the great prayer meeting of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.